Yeah, time to get into it. I know you will like it. This is Gorepaw, the skinny pig vampire. Going on adventures, time for you to check it. He has plenty books, yeah, I'm talking a collection. Had to fight the Red Bat Gang and so many more. Come and check. So many stories.
The Adventures of Gorepaw, the Skinny Pig Vampire. The Origin of Gorepaw. Written by Quentin Richard Reynolds. Narrated by Alexandra Elena Doskalou Nelson. Copyright 2021. Chapter 1. The Origin of Gorepaw, the Skinny Pig Vampire. The little pink skinny pig was in a bad way. He had been bitten in the night by some strange creature, and he was starting to feel rather unwell. His current owner was clueless and had never raised a skinny pig before. She had only purchased him because he looked so cute. She just occasionally renewed his water and put food in his bowl, but it was not enough. The poor chap was now undernourished, and his spine was starting to curve because of this. Sitting in his cage, which was filthy, as she hardly bothered to clean it, he was feeling very down about life. Meanwhile, only a couple of miles away, a young woman called Tors had just placed a shout-out on Facebook to anyone who might have a skinny pig for sale. Soon, a friend put her in touch with someone who wanted to give one away, as they were finding theirs difficult to look after. At 7 p.m. the next day, Tors, who had researched these lovely little creatures for weeks before deciding to take one on, turned up at their door. Instinctively, the little pink skinny pig could sense that something was going on. Then, a stranger gently put their hand in his cage, scooping him up and out. The hand was warm and smooth, and he felt comforted. He was placed in a nice, clean carry case, and then taken to his new home. He felt cozy, as a little snug blanket, fresh carrots, lettuce, and broccoli had also been placed inside the case. The skinny pig felt safe. The next thing he knew, he was taken out of the carry case and placed into a cage. However, this was not an ordinary one, as Tors, his new owner, had built a custom cage in the shape of a castle, and it was furnished with hay, treats, and a copious supply of dry food and water. Also, his sleeping quarters were upstairs, with a little area downstairs reserved for some treat dispensers. He looked up at her and saw that she had lots of tattoos and piercings in her nose, lips, and ears. How cool, he thought. Tors started to talk to him as though he understood her. She assured him that they were going to be best friends. So, little boy, what are we going to call you? Asked Tors. She thought for a while, and then she said, How about we call you Gorepaw? Your little paws look like they can do some damage, and are rather gory-looking. Not to worry, little one. We shall be off to the vet's tomorrow to get them cut. Tors pottered around her room most of the night, sorting out the cage and giving Gorepaw treats. And as the night ended with the lights going out, Gorepaw snuggled down, feeling blessed that his life had changed so much, and chuckled to himself at his new name. He tried to recall what his old owner called him, but he just could not. Soon, he was sleeping soundly all night for the first time since he could remember. The next day was an early start. He was scooped up, placed in the carry case again, and taken off to the vet's, where he was given a health check and had his paws clipped. The vet concluded that Gorepaw had been underfed and would need nursing back to health to get him back to tip-top condition. Tors then took him home and treated him to a bath of coconut oil and dried him off before placing him back in his cage. Tors then told him she was going to work and left nice fresh treats for him before setting off. Wow, thought Gorepaw. This is the life. The bright sun penetrated through the window and into the room, causing him to squint. He closed his eyes, and before long he was fast asleep. Sometime later, he heard some scuffing on his castle and someone chatting. He could not see who it was, as his cage was on a table, and he had to go over to the side of his sleeping platform to get a better look. He edged his way across the battlements of his castle cage, peering down between the cutouts. Staring up at him were a rabbit, several mice, and a bird, which he later found out was called a parrot. The rabbit spoke first. "Hello, mate. How are you? We are from the other flats and heard that you had arrived. It was only fitting for us to come over here and give you a hearty welcome." Gorpa was a bit surprised, as he had not mixed with any animals since his time at the pet shop. He took time to answer and stuttered a bit, as he had not used his vocal cords for a very long time. "Hello? How did you get in here?" "We used the tunnels that the mice made. Can we come up?" asked the rabbit. "Certainly," replied Gorpa. The parrot was the first to fly up with three mice on his back, and at the same time, a grappling hook was thrown up to the battlements, and the rabbit climbed up and into the castle cage. There was a short and uneasy silence until the rabbit arrived, and the introductions were then made. "I am Robbie Rabbit. This is Boris the Parrot, and here are the house mice, Miles, Melissa, and Malcolm. Nice to meet you all. I was named Gorpa by my new owner last night. I'm a..." Robbie interrupted. "A skinny pig, and love the name. No surprise, really. We knew Tours would call you something unusual. She's been looking for someone like you for a while, so welcome to 21 Merlot Street," continued Robbie. The mice and the parrot all pitched in. "Welcome, Gorpa." Over the next few hours, his housemates gave him a rundown of the flats and the other pets that occupied them, which included Ricky Rat, Clarence and Clarissa, who were bull terriers, and a kitten called Morgan. They also told him about a few animals he needed to be on full alert against. By all accounts, they were a bad bunch, including a band of brown rats that would take advantage of any open window and would steal all the food they could. What was most disturbing was being told of a group called the Red Bat Gang, who had escaped from a nearby animal testing laboratory. They were not pleasant characters at all, and it was rumored that they were vampires. Gorpa was assured that they were kept at bay by a mercenary fox who was paid in food by all the pets in the building as a thank you for their protection. Also, there was a band of squirrels that hunted down the Red Bat Gang. It was a lot to take in, and Gorpa's head was spinning with all the information they had given him. They joked and laughed all afternoon, but at 6:30 p.m., Robbie suggested they all head back to their rooms, as the humans would soon be back from work. So Gorpa waved to them as they went off. What a day it had been, meeting these lovely creatures and gossiping about the other bad ones. Gorpa helped himself to some crunchy apples. With all the talk, he had forgotten to offer some to his new friends. At around 6:45 p.m., Gorpa heard Tours coming up the stairs to her flat. It was then that the grappling hook Robbie Rabbit had used earlier caught his eye. Quick as a flash, he pulled it from the battlements and rushed it into his hay box to hide it. Shortly afterwards, Tours unlocked the door and came over to the castle. "Bambino, Bambino," she said in a soft voice, as Gorpa looked around to see who she was talking to. It soon became clear it was a term of endearment that she had decided to use for him, but for now, he was just confused. Later in the evening, he had the run of the floor, with some of it having been cordoned off by Tours to stop him coming to harm. It was at one point, exploring, that he could see Miles and Melissa Mouse waving to him from the other side of the room. They had appeared out of nowhere. Was there a secret passage or doorway to a tunnel? How did they get here? He started trotting towards them. Just then, Tours ruffled a bag of treats, and he turned around. When he looked back, Miles and Melissa had simply vanished,